What's up, fans? Our partners here at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's NBA Finals, NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and the latest fighting news, even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online where the game starts. Not only does Bet Online sponsor the Boss Man Show, they'll sponsor you too. Get Bet Online today because the Boss Man said so. Man Show. Alabama State Hornets head coach Eddie Robinson Jr. here with me on the Boss Man Show, a former Tennessee Titans / Oiler up there in Nashville. I played ball it up there as well. Coach Robinson, how you doing, man?
I mean, I'm doing great, man. Just enjoying being here, just enjoying wearing the hat, being in the position. You know, it's been a great honor and a pleasure so far to be the head football coach at Alabama State, my alma mater, and of course, I have a love for the SWAC. So just to compete in the SWAC against some other great teams, great schools, great coaches, I mean, we're all looking forward to it.
I hear that, man. So how has the Gump changed for you since you played down there, man? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, we had a coach's caravan last night, and I joked that, you know, if you went to Alabama State in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they don't know about Top Flight, which was like one of the local clubs there, then they didn't really attend Alabama State. And then one of our guys, you know, he's been the ball boy. He's still around here. And Peter Rabbit. I mean, Peter Rabbit is like a mainstay. He's been on the campus since the early 70s and just a part of the football program and tradition. And if you don't know about the Top Flight of Peter Rabbit, then you're not a true Alabama State Hornet. So it hasn't changed much to answer your question. Of course, yeah, I'm a little bit older and more mature now. So, you know, my role is a little bit different. But Montgomery's Montgomery, man. I think it's a great place. It's sandwiched in between Birmingham, Atlanta, Mobile, New Orleans. So we can get so many places in 4 hours, which helps us a lot with recruiting. But from the standpoint of the fans and the traditions on campus, man, a lot of it is still the same. And that's what really made me want to come back.
I think it's cool because you're a homegrown Hornet. So, you know, they had community backwards and forwards. So I feel like it's got people engaged, want to support you and the team because of who you are. You're a former Hornet. You bought the Gump. You was there when it was the real Gump, per se. So it's like folks want to buy in and want to be a part of that now going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's real big. And that's what we're really trying to preach. I mean, when we're recruiting kids, we're talking about relationships. And the thing about it, I think, you know, our president, President Ross, you know, he's a graduate of Alabama State. His mom and dad was a graduate of Alabama State. You know, after, you know, me coming here, I had two nieces who came here and majored in chemistry and biology. So I think Montgomery is in Alabama State is one of those communities and schools that once you come, it's almost guaranteed that you're going to have a next generation attend here, whether it's a child or a niece or a grandson, granddaughter. And it's really just that community atmosphere. And it's like you can't get enough of it. And that's what we really preach to our student athletes. It's not a 4-year commitment. You're a Hornet for life and you'll always be welcome back on campus.
And in recruiting, I feel what's good about it for you is that you walked in these guys' shoes, man. You were them some years ago. So, and you can get to the NFL if you put the right tape out there from being at Alabama State because you pulled it off. So I feel like all those things work in your favor because you are a model for them of success of being an Alabama State Hornet because you are a true Hornet man with that Hornet pride and you're swarming them up really, really good, brother.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing what I tell kids is that, you know, it's easy for me to sell Alabama State because it's the same thing I've been talking about for the last 30 years. And so, you know, I came here as a walk-on an academic scholarship. So, you know, we had Titus Howard, who was picked in the first round just 3 years ago by the Houston Texans. So, you know, he came and talked to our kids over at the spring game. And, And he was also a kid that came as a quarterback and was moved to offensive lineman and just got better and better. So, I mean, we have a lot of guys on campus who can say, hey, if not for Alabama State, where would I be? And so, and that's what we want to really put that into the next generation and give back to let that next generation say, hey, if not for Alabama State, where would I be? And the university has helped so many kids, not just athletes, but just so many students just become better people and a lot of first generation college students. So I think, you know, it's one of those things that I love. I've supported it from the stands, you know, supported it being on the foundation board, and now I'm supporting it being the head coach. And you know, when my time is done, I'm going to go right back to those stands and support the school again. And that's my role, is to try to get us to that championship level and be the very best coach I can be, you know, get the team to that level and make sure that the kids graduate also.
Now, when did you know you had to itch to coach, Eddie?
Probably, since the time I finished playing. I was more like a player's coach anyway. Everybody assumed that once I finished playing, you know, I played 11 years mostly with the Oilers and Titans, and Jeff Fisher, Greg Williams, they all assumed that once I finished playing the NFL, I would go straight into coaching. And I kind of thought I would too. And so, but along the way came three sons who were involved in a lot of sports, and that kind of got me distracted for some years. And it was just hard for me to commit to saying, hey, I'm not going to be at home with my kids and I'm going to go on the road and coach and do those type of things. So I kind of chose family first, and the way the universe worked, the plans came around where this opportunity came at this time in my life, probably the only time that it really would have worked. You know, 10 years earlier or 10 years later or whatever, it probably wouldn't have worked, but it kind of all worked out together. And so now it puts me in a position where I could be 100% committed to it like I was as a player. And one thing I didn't want to do was to get into coaching and not be able to be 100% committed, because it's truly a full-time job. The phone never turns off. You know, kids call you at all time of the night. If the kid's not calling you, it's the housing director calling you saying that the kids did something. So it's still, the phone is still on all the time. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. And for you, Coach Robinson, what's going to be your ideal Hornet, man? The guy, what kind of guy you want in your program going forward here, man?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is character. You know, I stress three things, and I've been doing it ever since I started coaching. The first, and I started, I was coaching little kids and coaching my kids. And so it was A-E-I-O-U, the vowels. Everybody knows the vowels. And the first one is attitude. You know, we start with a kid that has that attitude of he wants to be here. You know, the biggest thing is you have to have a guy that wants to be here, wants to wear Alabama State University gear every day, and is proud to be a Hornet. The next thing is effort. You know, we can't coach effort. You know, that's something that a kid has to have inside. When we turn on the tape, we want to see that you can play hard and practice hard. We can teach you how to play football, but if you have effort, you don't have effort, then it's not going to work. The third would be intelligence. And what I tell kids, that's on and off the field, is making good decisions in life. And also good decisions in life lead to you making good decisions on the field. Opportunity, take advantage of the opportunities. And the last one is you. In the end of the day, you know, you can have dreams and aspirations, but if you don't get off the couch and work towards them, and my biggest thing is, don't tell me that you have NFL dreams, but yet you don't have an NFL work ethic. And so if you have both of those things together, then you have an opportunity. So,
no doubt. And like right now, it's time actually working out, getting stronger, getting faster, because this is the time of the year we can work on you before fall camp starts. So talk about the workouts you've been having and getting guys to get in there and show them, hey, how they should get to work and how they should really change the time to get better now, because come August, it's about the team, not so much your individual game.
Yeah, man, we broke it down into four quarters. And the first quarter was that period in January, February, March, before spring training. I mean, before the spring football practice. So that's when you were able to get into the weight room, you know, off-season conditioning, getting everything going. And then the second quarter was, of course, spring training, spring practice. And that was different. You know, that's when you're competing against each other, you're on the field, and that's the grind. And this is we consider this the third quarter, which is that summer part, which is huge, because now you're trying to get yourself ready to play. And then my biggest thing is the fourth quarter, which is the season. That's the most important thing. But it's just, I kind of liken it to a football game. If you don't do well in the first, second, third quarter, now you're down by 21. And all of a sudden you need a miracle. Now you're trying to hope everything happens. And I've been in those situations where, unfortunately, you didn't do those things to get into the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden the season's starting and you don't feel strong enough. You don't feel big enough. You're not healthy enough. You're not where you want to be weight-wise. So I'm telling the kids that, do all of those things in the first, second, and third quarter. Then just like the game, that fourth quarter, you're able to finish and then you give yourself a chance to compete. So, I mean, the kids are committed to it. They're buying in. You know, they were here voluntarily in between that period and that break working out. And so when you have those team leaders who are emphasizing it, that accountability to the other guys, it makes me as a coach to realize that, hey, you know what? They're listening to what we're saying, because we can't be there to enforce everything. At some point, the kids have to take it upon themselves to want to be a great team.
I hear that, Coach. You know what's so good about that, man, is the fact you said, you know, guys hearing that from you, because you played in the NFL, I feel like that holds weight with young men that you played in the league, where they want to go play. It's, I feel like that holds weight with them. And also the fact that, hey, you know, it's a great thing that you're doing for them, because I feel like you can do real estate still if you're going to. You don't got to really just do that and it'd be cool. But you actually took the time to say, hey, I want to help mold your young men. And speaking of that, molding young men, Coach, having the burden of having 85 young, mostly black men on your team to help them become better husbands and fathers, business down the road. Talk about that piece of it, how it has makes you feel knowing that you got these kids to help mold and make them better men in our society going forward.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, is building relationships with the kids. And I mean, you're a mentor, dad, and uncle, all of that, friend, best friend, you know what I'm saying? You're all of those things before you are a football coach. I mean, we know they can play football. They wouldn't have made it on campus if they can't play football. It's something that they can do well. But the biggest thing is you're trying to develop that character. Like, I had a talk with one of my kids, like, hey, we're going to put you in a structured environment to make sure that academically you can get back on track. You know, we're going to put you in academic practice, and we're going to have your whole day lined up for you. But I was like, hey, man, once you graduate and get your degree and you're 25, 26, you know, Coach Rob's not going to be there. You're not going to be able to call me and say, hey, Coach, can you give me a structured environment, because I can't get to work on time. So we're putting those things in place. But the hope is that as a young man, that you will then take it upon yourself to be more organized, more disciplined, and then take that with you the rest of your life and then put it in your kids. You know, my coach, Coach Markham, he was the guy that when I was at Alabama State that kind of gave me the keys to success, not just on the football field, but in life. So we're trying to give them all of those keys and tools so they can be successful when we're not around. You know, it's one thing to do it when the coach is watching. It's another thing to do it because it needs to be done. So we're trying to get them into that mindset, and not just athletically, but also academically and also high character. And if we can do that, you know, those kids will come back. They'll want to send their kids back here. They'll become good alumnus. They want to make donations back to the school because they would have had a true experience at Alabama State that made them a better people. You know, it's so many people, including me, that always say, if not for Alabama State, where would I be? And so we're trying to create that for the next generation so they can say, hey, if not for Alabama State, where would I be?
No doubt it, Coach. You have a big press conference coming up here on June 27th here in Atlanta. Also, you have the Coach's Caravan Tour, the Swarm Tour. Talk about coming to Atlanta on the 27th for that press conference and playing Howard in August. And also your Coach's Tour you got, we have going on with the school, man.
Yeah, I mean, the Swag MEAC Challenge has been huge. I mean, I know we played in it against Bethune-Cookman some years back when it was in Orlando. But, I mean, Atlanta, I think, for HBCU and HBCU football, it's just the perfect city to have. You know, and my message to the kids from day one is, hey, we're starting our season in Atlanta, first game against Howard, and our plans would have ended in Atlanta in the Celebration Bowl. So that's going to be our two games in Atlanta. But it's really big for us because, you know, we have that alumni base there. I mean, I think we signed like four kids. We signed Nquaylet from Creekside, Lightfoot, who's down in Carver, and Varner, who's down on that south side of town. So, I mean, we recruit in Atlanta. The metro area has a lot of good football players, and we have a lot of alumni there. So for us to have a game in Atlanta, it's a place that we would like to play every year just because we have that connection. And you're talking about, you know, 200 miles away from the city of Atlanta to Montgomery. So from that standpoint, it's a good recruiting place from the school. And so our caravan, the coach's caravan, me and Coach Medlock, our new basketball coach, Coach Vasquez, who just won the SWAC championship in baseball, you know, it gives a chance for the fans to actually meet us in person in a relaxed environment. It's not on game day. You know, it's hard to walk up to the coach on game day. Hey, Coach, how you doing? Like, we're locked in. But now, you know, June and July, we can have some good conversations, you know, let the fans know what we need from fans, from support, financial support. You know, because everything is good. We're getting a new turf field on the practice field, on the game field. So it's a lot of great things going on at the university, but we really need that fan support, which also is financial support. We need those cheerleaders in the stands, but we also need those checkbooks and credit cards too. So
I hear that. Coach, I want to ask you about your time with the Titans and the Oilers, man. I was a younger dude when it was going down. How was that move from Houston to Nashville and having to play at the Liberty Bowl and at Vanderbilt and before they built the Coliseum for TSU and Tennessee Titans to play in? Talk about that experience back in the day, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, I actually was with the Oilers from 92 to 95, and I was there with the Warren Moon era. And once we traded Warren, of course, we went 2-14. So then that's how he was able to pick Steve McNair, who's, you know, great person, great player. Played against him in college and played with him in the NFL. And fortunately, for 2 years, I left as a free agent and went to Jacksonville. So that first year when they were in Memphis, I wasn't on the team, but okay. I was with Jacksonville, and we played them in the Liberty Bowl. So I still had that experience of playing there. And then the next year when I came back to Tennessee, they were actually in Nashville, and that's when we were practicing and playing at the Vanderbilt Stadium, which was still a good experience. And I think once we got into, which was Adelphia back then, the fans and the Nashville fans, they just took to the team, really big. And that's when we went to the Super Bowl in 99, had a good year in 2000, lost in the playoffs. So, my experiences in Nashville were really good. I considered living in Nashville and staying there, but it's just a little bit too cold. Those winters last too long.
I agree.
I'm from New Orleans, Houston, Jacksonville. My whole life has been along I-10, except when I went to Alabama State. So I had to get out of there.
Yeah, I remember when y'all practiced at TSU for training camp. I remember that. I was up there for training with my mom. Then I was up there and I met Jeff Fisher, Chris Sanders, Eddie as a young dude. I remember that in Jefferson that it was raining. It was raining crazy that one day. It was raining. Y'all was in Jefferson. I said, man, this is cool. I'm a young cat seeing all you brothers as a young dude. I'm like, it really inspired me, Eddie. It really did see all you guys when I was a young dude. When y'all was in Jefferson that in 98, maybe probably was you all was there.
Yeah. It's just an awesome experience. The NFL, I tell everybody, it's a great way to make a living. I wish every college football player, I wish they could just go for a year, if nothing else. But I think when you can get other people to experience, like you said, the NFL is really big about community. And that's the same thing we're doing. I'm trying to get my kids to understand, we do a Real Men Read program. We go read to elementary school. We started in the spring. We'll continue in the fall. But if you're a 6'5", 300-pound offensive lineman to a third grader, man, you're like a superhero. And at first, man, look how big he is. And so, I'm trying to get my kids to understand that being that football player, it's a prestigious thing. You have to be a breed apart. First of all, just from the academic requirements and the football requirements, it's hard to get all of that into one day. It's not a lot of fun packed into that day. And so, but at the same time, you still have to give back to your community and realize that, it's bigger than just on the field. And you have to understand that role model role that you play. Those things that you do, the things that you say on social media, in person, is going to impact the other people in your community, whether you do it good or bad.
No doubt. Coach Robinson, I was looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, man. It's fun to talk to you. I said, I remember him as a Titan. I remember him as a Titan. So this will be fun for me. So I appreciate you, Coach. We got to do this again real soon. If you ever need me to come to the Montgomery Covers event for you, I'll do it. Just let me know. I'm going to give my number offline here. She have my phone number as well. So if you ever need me to do anything for you guys, I got you.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. And like I said, man, that Atlanta area has been good to Montgomery. Only thing, man, I'm a Saints fan. I grew up in New Orleans. So as long as you don't start wearing that Falcons gear, we're going to be all right.
Okay. I'll spare you that. I'll spare you that, Coach. I'll do that for you. Hey, thanks, man. It was fun, man.
Absolutely. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
All right. What's up, fans? Our partners here at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's NBA Finals, NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and the latest fighting news, even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online where the game starts. Not only does Bet Online sponsor the Boss Man Show, they'll sponsor you too. Get Bet Online today because the Boss Man said so.